I told Marquette as we were driving to church this morning that I wasn't sure that I had made a hopeful turn in my sermon. But then I remembered that the text was called Woe to Pharisees. So maybe that's just the state of the text. As we follow Jesus on his journey to the cross, it's important, this moment, because this is the group of people who start plotting to kill him. Jesus makes the wrong people angry. And who are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are both Jewish leaders, and they both are people of God. They are in charge of the religious community and of the rules of that religious community. They have power in the temple, and they have power in society. But it's a sobering message to hear that the supposed people of God considered Jesus their enemy. And Sharon was right last week when she said, we can't say the Jewish people killed Jesus because all of Jesus' followers were also Jewish. We can't say one group of people is this way and all of them are that way, or one group of people is this way and all of them are that way. So I've chosen to be generous with the Pharisees this morning and assume good intentions. They were afraid. They were afraid of Jesus and the message that he taught. They had good reason to be afraid. Their people group had suffered oppression, and they had been captives for centuries. And now they were living under Roman rule. And they knew that if things got out of order, the Romans would just come and take all their land away and take all their power away. And so they were going to keep Jesus under control before the Romans took control. They weren't just afraid of the Romans or the fear of death. They were also afraid of this structure that they had built in society that gave them status and power, made them feel like their lives were important. They thought that they were doing God's work in the world. But when Jesus came, they didn't recognize that as God's work in the world. When we become afraid of the things around us, that fear becomes controlling in our life and in our theology. When we are afraid, we become controlling of the things that we think we have power over and the things that we think are our responsibility. Jesus is listing out, then, in this passage, the symptoms of that fear. They're following the letter of the law. They're washing the outside of the cup. They're giving a tenth of their garden spices, I think is what that version said. But they were not thinking of what God's priorities actually were in the world. They were worried about what people thought of them. They wanted people to like them. They wanted people to want to have them over at their houses, to be able to sit in places of honor. They would draw people in, saying, we know the way that God is telling us to go. Jesus calls them unmarked graves. And what that means is, when people are walking towards them, they don't know they're walking towards death. Because in this community, you want to know where the graves are, and so you like paint them white, because if you go too close to a grave, then you can't go into the temple. They also are accused of holding the keys of knowledge and locking people out. They're controlling what they think are dangerous ideas among the people. And they tie heavy burdens on people and don't lift a finger to help. This one makes me think of something that I do when I get really stressed, is I make really long, detailed to-do lists, and I just leave them around the house. And I tell myself that they're for me, but when Marquette finds them, 3 days later, I'll be like, why are you so stressed? She's like, we have so much to do. So when I feel stressed, I end up putting these burdens on us that are unrealistic and that actually maybe are not a priority. When Jesus comes proclaiming a vision of God that is uncontrolled and that is outside the structure, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they can't handle it. Jesus comes proclaiming a God that is breaking into the world in a chaotic way for everyone. And this can't be God because it doesn't fit into my structure. Fear and insecurity and self-obsession causes us to be blind guides, which is another thing that Jesus calls the Pharisees in another part of the gospel. We say, or they say, this is the way to God. Follow us, but they don't know where they're going. We have an evening service here, and last week, we call it Sanctuary. Last week at Sanctuary, we talked about the passage where Jesus tells his disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. For if you try to save your life, you will lose it. We ended up talking about how following Jesus is giving up our idea of control and giving up the outcomes that we want. We have to let go of the things that we think we control or we're in charge of or our responsibility. Our striving can't be to save our own lives or to save the type of life we want. We won't be living if we're struggling to keep everything the way that it is. So what does it look like when we let go of fear and accept that we're not in control? Jesus models that as he walks towards the cross. He does what he believes is right and lets other people decide the outcome. Jesus is not timid. When we say we're not in control, it's not like, okay, you can decide. That's not what we're saying. Jesus is unaffected by the things around him. His choices are not made by his fear of the outcome. And this lack of fear that he has in the world clears his vision to be able to see God in front of him in the way that God is moving in the people around him. And this doesn't look to the Pharisees like God's work, because it draws him towards people that they don't mess with, right? To the outside people who are not allowed in the temple or in the church. Jesus spends a lot of time with the people that they would call sinners or not good enough. But Jesus doesn't care what they think. He doesn't care what they do to him. But he also continues to give them the choice. At the very beginning of the story, Jesus has been preaching, and a Pharisee comes to him and says, come to my home, I'll feed you dinner. And Jesus goes. Like, he continues, even though he's had a bad relationship with them and they've never understood, he continues to go into their homes and to give them the opportunity. But he also speaks truth in that moment where the Pharisee is like, you didn't even wash your hands. And Jesus is like, you're so blind to the point of this right now. Jesus is walking towards his death. He's exhausted. These people are the people who should be for him. These are the people of God. But they're the ones standing in his way, and they're the ones who end up being against him. Sometimes our vision of the right way, or the way the world should be, will blind us to the suffering that's occurring in the paths of where we're walking. We don't realize the consequences of our right way for everyone else around us. So how do we practice this, letting go, this lack of control? We're going to do an exercise. So everyone, if you're sitting by yourself, you're going to have to use your divine imagination. But everyone else, stick your arms straight out to the sides. Straight out to the sides, Emily. Okay. She didn't want to do it. And that's because she doesn't like being in other people's spaces. She wants everyone to have enough room. This is your area of control. These are the things you can touch, that you can change. And you're in other people's spaces. You can put your arms down, but just remember that. When we create this large space that we are in control of and that we can change and that is up to us, we make ourselves into little gods of this area. And everyone else who comes near us, they are limited, and our space is encroaching on their space. Jesus didn't come telling people, this is my space, and this is how it's going to be. He came offering choices. He's like, this is what you've been told life is like. Here's another way. Here are some good options. That's called agency. So agency is having several good choices and having the freedom to choose between them. When we are controlling of other people, that is giving people one option, and it may or may not be good. People who don't have agency have no good choices. The structures that we've created and the rules that we've created don't give people good choices. Jesus wants us to practice giving freedom. So what that looks like is we shrink our area of control. When someone needs to pass by, instead of having your arms out, you step aside and say, do you need to go this way? And you give them room. You look around at the people who may not be able to make good moves or good choices. And you ask, how am I able to provide more agency and more choices to you? And Jesus is providing those options to the Pharisees over and over and over again. Woe to you, Pharisees. That means life is not going to be good for you in the future. Please stop what you're doing. We all have times where we have more or less agency. Sometimes that's because of our physical ability or our financial ability or the social structure we're in. Sometimes it's ourselves, but sometimes it's other people. And sometimes we are those limitations to other people, like when we have our arms straight out. When people have very little agency, it does lead to despair. If they don't feel like they have any choices in the world, sometimes they feel like they only have one choice, and that's not a good one. We practice limiting our own control and our own choices in order to give other people more freedom. This is what we do when we are practicing Lent, which is the 40 days before Easter. We are giving up control. We're giving something up for that season. And we're saying, God, you are in control of this. And we spend that time in prayer and in giving to others. as we focus on the thing that we've given up so that we have more time for the things of God. But like I said at the beginning, this is all stemming from fear. Fear of losing something, fear of not being something, fear of getting it wrong. And we have to let go of that fear. Jesus says, perfect love casts out fear. And the love of God is perfect. We have to rest in that, and that someone is in control that is not us. And that when we try to be in control, we are not good gods. So I hope that this season of Lent, you can think about the areas in your life where you imagine you have control and the areas you imagine you don't have control. And I want us to think about, is that stemming from fear? Fear of an outcome for myself or for someone else? So we're going to move now into our time of reflection and response.